Ladies and gentlemen, we present a radio program in English.
I don't like it, Adam, sir.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
And now, on London Taxi Radio, it's the Mick the Brit broadcast with Mick the Brit, broadcasting from a secret location south of the river. And here's your host,
Mick the Brit.
General, thank you so much.
Hello, how you doing? Thank you very much for downloading this, and indeed, thank you very much for listening to last week's podcast, broadcast, Well, there's been quite a bit going on this week, certainly, so we are going to endeavour to bring that to you. And hope you survived Halloween and all that stuff. And is it me, or did it get busier? Or was the last week when the kids were on holiday not that bad after all? I'm just saying, I'm just putting that one out there. All right, there's plenty to get to, so let's get to it. And indeed, welcome along to the Mick the Brit broadcast, which you can find on londontaxiradio.co.uk. We're also in Spreaker, but you'll find us under the London Taxi Radio programming there. Quite a bit to get to this week, so let's not mess about. Let's get to it.
I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman with a sense of history, and I'm also a Londoner. Today is a day of great historical significance for London.
Oh, this is a special one, so pay attention in case you're having problems with foxes attacking your cab. I kid you not. This is the special one.
Sir Mick the Governor here. I've got a new weapon in my armoury with the Battle of the Foxes. And as you can see, it's silent roar. Now, believe it or not, this is lion shit. If you can see that, look, it's in pellet form. Now, I've got it on good authority that foxes hate the smell of In fact, I think I must be a fox as well, because I hate the smell of it as well. It really, really does pen and ink. So, not the cheapest of options, to be honest with you. This is, that cost me £10, that box. So, I'm going to give this a little bash. As you can see, comes in pellet form. And what I'm going to do now is just sprinkle some of this. By the size of the cab. So, I've got three weapons in my armoury now. Vinegar, Gypsy Kiss, and the old... Anyway, the Battle of the Foxes. There you go, look, see that? Let's see what it says. These pellets are soaked in real essence of lion dung. There you go. So, if you've got problems with foxes getting under your cab like I have, and chewing cables, try some of this. Silent Roar. There it is. It's in pellet form. Things you've got to do in this game, eh, to keep your the old black money box on the road.
I don't know where to start with this one. There's so many questions that need answering about this. First of all, I never realised that your urban fox could disable a London taxi cab. And then secondly, how do you thwart a wily fox against a London taxi cab? I know. You put lime poop down. They hate it. How did they make the discovery that foxes hate lime poop? Now, I don't know where that guy lives, and I don't know whether he has lions roaming by, and it's been found in his neighbourhood that the foxes don't go nowhere near it. Or has he been taken in by somebody? You know, he's been in a shelter, and they said, oh, you know what you want to do with that, mate? Lion dung. Lion dung? Oh, yeah, works a treat. They ate it, yeah. It'd be a bit like me saying, I'll tell you what, mate, you want to put honey down. Honey? Yes, honey. Well, there's like, in your urban fox, there's like a default defence mechanism. And that is, when they go near a beehive, they might smell honey. And when they do, that activates this defence mechanism, warning them that they could get stung by a bee. So when they smell the honey, they clear away. They get right out of it. Now, that sounds almost logical, doesn't it? No, it's cobblers. But hey, he bought it. Or, you know, I'll tell you what you should put there, mate. That bubble wrap. Bubble wrap, yeah. The stuff that, you know, it comes in boxes. They wrap packaging, you know, from Amazon. You know, they hate that. They don't like that. Or polystyrene pellets. Put a load of those down. They won't come nowhere near you, cab. Now, that's got me thinking. In the Arctic, you've got your Arctic fox. So does that mean that polar bear poop has the same effect on your Arctic fox? That's one for David Attenborough. Actually, we should ask Alexa if she knows anything about fox repellent. More about this one later on.
The Mick the Brit broadcast.
I feel that I am speaking to friends and companions.
Castaways and Liar Liar.
Surely we don't need Sherlock Holmes to deal with this Listen Grove mob. Everyone knows who they are. The old Bill must know who they are. OK? They need to be caught in the act, Nick, do whatever, banged up, but if they don't want to bang them up, they can give some of them an ASBO. They're not allowed to leave the Listen Green estate, or whatever it is, unless they go out to school or wherever they go. OK, so that's how to deal with them. Anyway, just thinking, I've been watching all these demos by the minicab mob and all that, and what's kind of becoming clear is that there's movement, they're being pressured by both ends, and I think that we need to encourage these people to put pressure on TFL. We can't keep on letting the LTDA shield TFL from the rightful criticism. They're probably meeting today, TFL, with their COs, and they're saying, how many cab drivers can we take off the road today? Target for tonight. Another little poem. They shall not grow skint as we that are left grow skint. Cabs shall not weary them, nor the members condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, they're still the COM. We should have known when that photo at Miss Gondiraya had the usual suspects in it. It's been sent the letter, because I expressed an interest, just for curiosity, and the no win, no fee isn't quite just that.
This whole issue has been set up to detract from the United Taxi Action Group, who are going to eventually take TFL to court. This Miss Gondiraya Del Rey issue is like a curtain, and it is a carrot held in front of greedy cab drivers' noses who have been blinded by the thought of a free lunch. And as everyone knows, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And it has now come out in their terms and conditions that the finance behind the case, they haven't put a figure on it, but they're saying it's a set amount, it's finite. So if Uber do win, which they probably will, because let's face it, they've been licensed by TFL and they're fair competition in the eyes of a court. Just because you've lost money out of your takings over the last 6 years, that's competition. That's what the people want, as they keep saying. Well, if they win the case, which they probably will, and the legal costs are more than the sum that's been set aside, you, as claimant, will be responsible for the access. And that could be quite a sum. You could be talking about millions of pounds. So all these people that are looking for a free lunch, they could eventually wind up on the street with their hands out trying to get a free lunch.
Yes. And not only have they left the sinking ship, I don't think they were ever aboard it.
Right. I've just seen a Listen Grove mob jump out of the cab just before the underpass, before the Piccadilly underpass, on the north side. I see them all pile out of his cab. I pulls up, I says to him, what's happened? He's gone through the boot of his cab, he's got out of f***ing crowbar. He said, they've just robbed me and he's gone after, he's locked his cab up, he's gone after them through the park. But I, you know, like, there's about three or four of them. So that's the update on the Listen Grove mob, I believe.
Here you are, Commissioner Cressida Dick. Rather than having dozens of coppers dealing with fare dodging on the buses or the trains, how about protecting life and limb of the London taxi trade? Oh, plenty was said and plenty was done. All this went by the old UTG, but that's why they don't have minutes, because nobody wants to be held to account, not necessarily for the things they agreed to, but they are things that they let them slip past. Project Horizon went right past the LTDA, and now we've got a situation where, as far as I'm concerned, the TFL protect the LTDA by not releasing the proper minutes of meetings so that we can hold them to account. And the quid pro quo of that is that the LTDA protect TFL and that serial incompetent might.
To me, but you're in tune. The shadow by the final frame of the moon is seen and generates your every aim. You ain't no bird, and so for what it's worth, I'm gonna bring you straight back.
times when you're in need of assistance. You're looking for a lead and in the distance. You hear them calling, come back down again. But you don't know how, you don't know where, don't know where. You're shattered by the final frame of the movie scene that generates your every aim. You ain't no bird, so the wildest word you wanna bring us you straight back down to earth, straight back down.
Curiosity killed the cat and down to earth.
Whatever your taste, whatever your interests, there will be something for you in our programmes.
And last week, you might remember, we had Gaunty on, John Gaunt, talking about his Simple as Fat diet. Go to simpleasfat.com. It will be a real eye-opener. And of course, you're looking to lose weight. That's the way to go. You can eat fat. Yes, eggs, bacon. In fact, there was a Guardian newspaper article saying that actually dairy and meat, no, that isn't the way to go because of the environment. Well, I'm sorry, but my health. And this is the big debate, isn't it? Is your health against the environment? Well, it's cobblers, because just imagine getting rid of all the cows in the world. What odds would that make to the environment, really? Come on, what odds would it make? You only need a volcano to go somewhere. any savings that have been made would be wiped out instantaneously. As I said, you'll remember last week on the broadcast here, we had Gaunty talking about Simple as Fat, but then... Yes, he gave us an exclusive rant for the Mick the Brit broadcast and London Taxi Radio. So we're back with John Gaunt, simpleasfat.com, johngaunt.com. Check out his podcast. And of course, you can hear him on Sputnik Radio with his Friday evening podcast there with some great guests, some real nice in-depth interviews. Yeah, fantastic, John. John, I know you used to be, and you've told us that you used to be a journalist on The Sun, but recently there have been stories in The Sun. Now, to be honest with you, quite a lot of cab drivers read The Sun. Just point out for us where you're saying that they kind of changed their view, their stance with regards to the working class bloke like us.
Well, first thing is, I was never a journalist and the son. I was a columnist. I had my own page for about 6 years. No, it's important because I'm an opinion person, right? I give opinions. I don't, based on fact, but I don't actually ever want to be impartial. So I just want to be clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
No, the son, when I got a job on the son, I'll never forget my dad when I told him I'd got one. He went, effing hell. And then he said, how much? I told him. He says, what, a month? I said, no. A day. He says, you what? Well, he was just a working class copper, me old man. But he was proud that I was on there. And it was my ambition in life, right, to write for The Sun. It was one of my ambitions.
Wow.
And I adored it. I worked with brilliant people because only the best work at The Sun. Or that was the case, right? Only the best. The best editors, the best picture editors, whatever. No matter what you think of it politically or thought of it politically, and I know there are things that people criticise you for, I'm telling you, Fleet Street's finest work there. They also paid the most money. Right. So when I was there, we once did a story about the burqa. And I had a whole page in The Sun, and I wrote about the burqa, and I said this. The burqa has no place in 21st century tolerant liberal Britain, or 20th century.
20th then, John, yeah.
Probably, yeah. No, 2010. Anyway, I can't remember. So that's what I said, and I meant it, right? It had the biggest, and it had a picture of a woman looking like a medieval Dalek, right, in the paper. It had the biggest reaction The Sun had ever had for a columnist. The following week, we did almost a similar story because it had gone down so well. I'm telling you now, that story now would not be in The Sun. And the best example of this is the way they are talking about Tommy Robinson.
Yes.
Now, I know he divides opinion, and I don't agree with everything he said, and I don't agree with the contempt at court. He was an idiot. I said it on a podcast, and I said it to his face when I interviewed him on Sputnik. By the way, you can still hear that. Just go to Sputnik. Put in John Gaunt, Sputnik, Tommy Robinson, the interview comes up. Have a listen, because it's a great interview. Anyway, not because of what I say, but because of what he says. But he is fighting because everybody else has ignored the working class. Everybody else, whether they're Labour or Tories, they ignored these white girls for 40 years who were being raped by these savages, right? Now, I don't believe that every Muslim is a problem. I don't believe that every Muslim is a rapist or a potential rapist, but there is a problem with a section of them who come from a certain part of Pakistan, and we have to be able to say that and not be called racist. Now, Tommy, right? They decide instead, The Sun. Now, well, I think when I was there, they would have said, yeah, warts and all, but actually he's all right, yeah? But not now. Oh, no. Some snobby little woman, girl, I think I would have called her, wrote a bit about the Tommy Robinson protest outside the Bailey this week and basically talked about, oh, yes, they were all waving UKIP flags and Union Jacks. And so I wrote an article for Sputnik saying, what's wrong with waving our national flag? And then she also went on to say, oh, and they were drinking cans of Stella at 10 in the morning. Now, I wouldn't drink a can of Stella at 10 in the morning, but if somebody's having a day out in London at a protest or go to the football, I don't think yet Stella has been criminalized. I don't think it's a criminal act. It's not crack cocaine. And, of course, the funny thing is, I'm not saying that particular journalist, by the way, the funny thing is, a lot of people I know who work in tabloids are always on the Charlie, Mick.
Yes, if you understand catch what your I mean. Drift. Yes, John,
so,
yes.
Because in a lot of ways, you've got to be on the Charlie because they work such long hours. No, you haven't got to be. Sorry, I understand where the temptation is. I just think this is stinking hypocrisy, and I don't know what The Sun are doing. When I was on The Sun, we had over 3 million people buying it a day, 8 million readers. Now they've got 1.4 million, I think it is. I don't understand why they've turned against their own. I'm not saying that. See, I don't think Tommy Robinson is a fascist, and I don't think he's a racist, right? Mm-hmm. I think he's a truth teller and a realist and a bit of a big head. That's my view of Tommy Robinson. However, they've decided to demonise him every time they mention him. I mean, you'd expect this of the BBC or Sky. They go, his real name, Stephen. He's a mortgage fraud. Well, what about Mandelson? Yeah. What else is there? Oh, a football hooligan 30 years ago. And I think the other one is he went to America with a false passport. He shouldn't have done those things. But he's hardly a rapist, is he?
Nope.
Or a gang rapist or a groomer or a paedophile. And I don't really understand. I understand why BBC and the middle class lovers and the establishment elite see him in that way and his followers. But I don't understand why The Sun is doing it. I really don't. And, well, And the bomb, maybe they've taken the calculation. You know, when they try to do documentaries or news bits on Tommy and the BBC or Sky go along and no one will talk to him, none of the fans. Mm. And he's got, you know, he's got the best part of a million people supporting him. And then the Times do a trashing article on him as well. He lives in a 950 grand house. So what? Mm-hmm. As long as he's funding that through money he's earning. He was a plumber, I think, years ago. And then the Sun yesterday did a story about he's going to make millions. He's now planning to do a world tour. Then when you read the story, Mick, no, he was having lunch with Lord Pearson. This is the day after they said he was boozed up. But he's not drinking at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he shouldn't be in the House of Lords. He's not guilty of any. Anyway, now they're saying he's going to do a world tour, which is no surprise to me. He probably will. And he'll probably make loads of money. But they've already calculated it, and they've already calculated that he's planning it, which is not true. This is all lies. This is all fake news. And I'm sorely disappointed with the Sun, sorely disappointed with them. I think they've lost their way. But I think, totally, the establishment's lost its way. Look at Brexit. It's an absolute nonsense. We wanted it. We voted for it. We're not going to get it. We're going to get now something which is worse than being in the EU. We're going to pay and have no say.
Yeah, exactly.
And
terrible.
None of them have got the balls, and then he said a different word, to get rid of her. It's mad. Yeah. It's absolutely mad. And then you're not allowed to talk about trans, and you're not allowed to support leaders who want to make their country's great again. It's just bonkers, Mick. It's just bonkers.
It is.
It's driving me mad. It is literally driving me mad.
Think about this one, John, as a question for you to ponder. How many working class heroes do we have now?
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Think about it and you start struggling.
Yeah, I know.
Because they fall into different categories, actually.
James Dellenpole on my Sputnik show, he said a really interesting thing, Mick. He said, basically, and he's very posh, he went to Oxford University with David Cameron. He shared rooms with David Cameron. Used to smoke dope with him, he alleges.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You probably heard him say that on my show before. Dellenpole is posh as posh can be, right? In that programme on Sputnik, he talks about how the establishment and the media basically hate the working class. They look down their noses at them. He says when he first went to meet Tommy Robinson, he thought, he's probably going to be a right fascist football hooligan. He says within minutes of actually meeting him and the people who support him, which he said it really surprised me because there were black, Asian and women there as well as white people. Mm-hmm. He said we got to a situation where I realised he was clever. He's a working class lad. He was clever. He's got an encyclopedic knowledge of Islam, right? Better than most Muslims. Mm-hmm. And he's not a fascist. He's not a racist. He's a truth teller. Mm. And then he said something. He said, the people who follow him, they may be a little uncouth, right? His posh, right?
Yes.
But he said, they're not fascists. And he said, this is going to come back and bite the establishment on their ass. Because when there's a war, who do they come to first? The white. We'll call them the white, but... Yeah. Let's maybe call it the right, yeah? So, because they're not all white. They're all black. They're black and everything else, right? They come to the working class. But if it kicks off over Brexit, over the betrayal, if it kicks off over other things, like people not taking this Pakistani rape gang seriously enough, if there's a spark, when they turn around to the army and the police, I mean, that ridiculous thing about taking all the phones off the squaddies who met Tommy by accident. If that happens, will the police, will the army be there to help the establishment? I'm not in any way promoting the idea they shouldn't be, because that's illegal. But I'm just saying it's an odd time. We're living in a really odd time. Mm. And James Dellenpole, posh James, right? And you can't, you know, that's it. It's posh. I'm working class. You're working class. Yeah. You can't, you know, I found a lot of posh people are great. Right?
Oh, yeah. What I call old money, John. What we call old money. Yeah.
Yeah. The people who are not so good and the middle class twats.
The new money people. Yeah.
They're knobs.
Yeah.
And many of them work in the media. Anyway, so this looking down their noses at the white, or, you know, use that term loosely, working class is going to come back and hit them. It's like the BBC, every advert. Oh, yeah, if you're black, you can apply for this. And if you're Asian, you can. If you're a bloke in a frock, you can apply for it. Well, I'm white. I'm white, working class, from a working class estate in Coventry. Nah, you're white.
Nah.
You're privileged. No, hang on a minute. White working class boys are doing least well at school. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, but hang on. when it was black kids in that position, you made all these concessions, and that's why now they're getting on. You funded those schools. Why aren't you funding our school on some shithole estate in Coventry?
Yeah, yeah.
What, is it because I is white? And that is going to build resentment. I want to live in an equal society. I've got two beautiful girls, as you know. I want them to have equal opportunities to men. Depeche, he's a Hindu.
Yep.
Rosie's boyfriend. I want him to have equal opportunities. I want everyone to be equal. Mm. That's why I don't want Sharia law. That's why I don't want to stand on eggshells around certain communities. It's ridiculous. And in the old days, the Sun would have been saying that and the other tabloids. Now they're not.
Yes.
And that's frightening because that's going to... It denudes democracy. What we need is, like, when we were in the States, me and you and Tony and everybody else and John, we'd have rows, wouldn't we? Big political rows, right? Next day, we're still mates.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
You need argument. You need debate. You need proper politics. We're just about to be betrayed or take the biggest decision. Well, we took the decision, but our politicians are now trying to sort it out, right? There's no real political debate. Do you know why? Because they're all in bed with each other, metaphorically or literally, and so are the media. That's what is wrong with Great Britain today. And the only way we're going to put the great back into Great Britain, let me tell you this, is when we get a bloody leader like Donald Trump. Look at what Donald Trump's doing now, whether you like him or not. He's saying all those lot are marching from Honduras or wherever it is.
Yeah, the caravan.
You ain't coming in.
Yep.
Now, do you doubt that? Because I don't.
No. I think he's lined up 8,000 troops down there on the border now, John.
And why should he let them in? Because, and of course the argument from the snowflakes is, amongst them, don't forget Steve Jobs was an immigrant. Yeah, he was an immigrant actually adopted by an American couple. But anyway, there might be another Steve Jobs. There might be another Donald Trump. But I would hazard a guess the majority of them will end up on bloody welfare. I'm not
being
rude or racist. It's a fact.
They're not marching to America to put something on the table there. They're marching to America to take something from the table.
Yeah. Now, I don't mind them taking from the table once they've contributed. When the first doctors came to Coventry in the 60s from Pakistan, they were escaping Pakistan.
Yeah.
They wanted to build a new future. These guys now, there's a road in Coventry called the Kenilworth Road. It's the poshest road, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a school called King Henry VIII, which is a fee-paying school. Both of those places are largely populated by these Pakistani doctors and their offspring because they came, they knew they were escaping a shithole, and they've contributed. And without them, there wouldn't have been really any doctors in Coventry.
Yeah.
I've got nothing against immigration. However,
managed
there's been
immigration.
A future stuff who have come, recent people who have come. They seem to think we're the land of milk and honey. They know they get £10,000 straight away effectively because they can take any job and then they get that extra top-up money. They even get the money to send back to Warsaw or Romania if their kids are there, the child benefit, even if they've never lived in this country. That is nonsense. We need a leader who's going to clamp down on that, a leader who says... Well-managed, controlled immigration has made this country great, because I believe it has, but we can't have a free-for-all. Now, Donald Trump is doing the same. As you know, Mick, you spent many, many hours and months and years there. America is built on immigration, but you can't let everybody in. So we need a leader like Trump. And then before people slag off Trump, let's just have a look at his achievements. The economy is going through the roof. More black youths are in education than even under Obama. In fact, massively more. More jobs in America. Ford are no longer making factories in Mexico and other countries because they've been told, right, you've got to do it here. His economy is booming. He's done this despite the fact the whole of the mainstream media, including the Clinton News Network, CNN, including the BBC in this country, including the whole of the Democrat Party, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and 12 people stood against him, the whole of his own Republican Party. He defeated the lot of them, and slowly but surely he's draining the swamp and he's making America great again. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah.
And the sooner we have somebody like that here, the better. And then, of course, there's the sexual allegations. Well, before we go on about him grabbing women by the pussy or saying that, let's have a look at Bill Clinton, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
And the allegations of rape.
Yeah.
Shall we have a look at that?
Mm.
Shall we look at JFK and his numerous affairs? Marilyn Monroe, links to the mafia. Shall we have a little look at Edward Kennedy, who was so pissed up he left a girl to drown, allegedly, in a car near Boston?
These were Democrats, weren't they, John? These were Democrats, weren't they?
Oh, they were Democrats.
Yeah,
there we are. We're connecting the dots.
Correct.
I think anybody that powerful is probably going to be a bit of a monster, if I'm honest with you, Mick. So I would say about all of them.
Mm.
And Doug, in no way does that condone it. You know, like this latest thing about Philip Green. And,
yes, that came out today, John, yes.
Yeah, I'm not very happy about that because he's innocent at the moment.
Yes.
Tried. I don't really want to live in a country where they're now saying strip him of his... I mean, they should have stripped his knighthood off him for the scandal over BHS and Debenhams. But they're saying strip his knighthood, MPs are saying, and then all these women are making these allegations. Now, I don't know. If I had to gamble, I'd say he probably is a bit of a predator because of his power, whatever. But I don't know. The man deserves a fair trial. And I worry that in this new world, that doesn't happen because of Twitter and Facebook and the rest of it. So I'm not defending him. I'm the father of two young women and I want them to get on. And if any bloke touched up my girls, whether he was President Trump or whether he was Green, he'd get a slap. And if I couldn't get him a slap, I'd get somebody who would give him a slap.
Yeah,
right? Because I'm I'd do time for them. You know that,
sure,
mate.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Any working class bloke could say that. Hmm. But I think Trump has done... How have you got me onto politics?
No,
I think Trump has done wonders in America, and I think he'll get re-elected. All this Russian collusion, that's all been blown out of the water.
Yeah.
I just think we need somebody like that in our country.
We do, yeah, what you're saying, John, let me condense it down. We need somebody, an alpha male with a set of nads.
Yeah.
Or
an alpha. And if Boris had a set of nads or Jacob Rees-Mogg, they would have stitched him up. And what about that stabbed him in the back? What is all this nonsense about? Oh, and parliamentary language, telling her to bring a noose with her and all this. She managed to divert the attention. And have you heard the story about that? They now reckon it was her spin doctors saying that these anonymous Tory people were saying this, these MPs.
Yeah.
They've not named anyone.
No.
And they neither said whether it was a Brexit or a Remainer. It was so that she could stand up in Parliament and all the time can be wasted by idiots and who I condemn that language.
Yeah.
Listen, if we're talking about a betrayal of our great country, if we're talking about the future of our country, I want people to F and blind and get worked up about it and not necessarily use parliamentary language.
Yes. It works. Shows passion, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it's about, passion and showing your true feelings.
That's right.
Yeah. John, I've got to say, thank you so much. Just tell us where we can find you when we can't find you here on the broadcast. Just tell us where we can find you. Go on.
Where you can find me, if you want to listen to the political ones, I do 4 or 5 podcasts a week, www.johngaunt.com. And if you go there and you want to help me out and donate, feel free, anything from £5 upwards. You can also find me on Sputnik International. If you just put John Gaunt Sputnik Radio, Google it, you'll find the links. I've got some great interviews on there with everybody from Raheem Kassam, James Delenpole, Gerard Batten, leader of the UKIP party, and I've got Tommy Robinson, of course. So they're all on there. Have a listen to them. And then where you can also get me, if you want to lose some timber, maybe try to reverse your diabetes, type 2, not type 1, type 2, check out my diet and lifestyle site, www.simpleasfat.com. Follow me on Twitter with all the same names and on Facebook as well. Mick, it's been great talking to you. Thank
John,
you for your support.
No, thank you as well, John. Thanks very much for coming on the broadcast. Not often somebody gets to interview you rather than it being the other way around. But
how long have you just done there?
We've almost done an hour here, John.
And I'm not even charging. I can't believe it. Huh? Huh? I won't even sit in the cab waiting for the tip.
Yeah.
Do you want a receipt for that? Yeah, I do want a bloody receipt. Yeah. Hey, by the way, I'm with the black cabs against Uber and against can't.
Yeah.
I'm against him.
Yeah.
I'm against him, and I hope you win. And, you know, when we talk about big business, big pharma, big food, there's no better example of that than when we look at the background of Uber and when we look at people like Rachel, I used to be on Sky with, her connections to David Cameron, her and the connections between Georgie Osborne and the investment company behind Uber. It stinks to high heaven.
Yeah. And the rest of it, John, as well. There's a lot of other stuff going on. I mean, just thinking about you saying about John, the business partner, the photographer there, he doesn't seem to have asthma. And yet pollution in London is being blamed for kids getting asthma. Is it? Or is it bad diet? You know?
I'll blame anyone. It's normally Donald Trump's fault, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that, of course, yeah.
Or Nigel Farage.
Yeah.
Gotta go. Lovely talking to you.
Cheers, John.
Don't forget, cabbies, get signed up, lose some weight, get walking, don't die in the cab. You're prime candidates to die with the crap you eat and the fact you're sitting on your big fat ass all day. You need to get out and walk and eat animal fats. Remember, animal fat is not the enemy. Sugar is. Cheers, Mick.
Mick the Brit podcast.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. And people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly saying hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. To your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Buffalo Springfield, For What It's Worth.
Is it only a matter of time before these CEOs overdo it and someone flies into a rage? And right-handers are slung. I don't promote it. I don't approve of it. But I think it's inevitable.
Yeah, what they was doing, so I was told, a friend of mine was dropping off there, and he said that there was two of them, one at either end of the rank, and they was, like, being used as spotters. And they was looking at the way that the taxi drivers were carrying out the transactions. And as soon as it looked like a cab driver was using a handheld unit, they were signalling to another couple that was standing in the middle who would rush over and started harassing the driver. It's wrong. I mean, there's no regulations to state that it has to be a fixed unit. All it says is it has to be an approved unit. I've looked in through all the registration. I've looked at the cab order and all that. It's just not there. The only place it is on Twitter. There's a comment on Twitter that says, we only approve fixed units. That doesn't make it law. That's just a comment made by an operator on Twitter. This is wrong. They're operating as agents for a third-party credit card companies that are complaining to TfL that their takings are down because drivers are using cheaper units. And there's a solution to this, and that's for these companies to stop tucking us up, charging us 5% for transactions. They should bring their charges down to a more reasonable standard of, say, 3%. That's what it was supposed to be in the first place, remember? It was supposed to be capped at 3%, but the three companies, the three big companies, done their nut, they wanted more, and they wanted the 20p as well, which is wrong. It's like theft. It's legalised theft. And it's got to come to a head, and our orgs and unions have got to do something about this. It can't be left. As Paul said, right-handers will be thrown.
What I can't make out is, why? What f***ing difference does it make? If the punter's happy to pay for a mobile unit and the driver's happy to offer one, what difference does it make to anyone else? We're not turning anyone over. If the punter was being overcharged, they'd soon have a scream up. Trust me. So, What's to be achieved here? Is it all to do with Ron Khalifa on the TFL board making sure that only his pals are in on the thing? I think we should be told.
Don't you remember when Deirdring was deputy mayor and she said the golden three stakeholders are going to arrange to put credit card machines in all taxis? The golden three. Well, people ain't using the golden three ones because they're too greedy. They're using SumUp or Summit, whatever it's called, Cab App, iZettle and PayPal, and they're not getting the money they was getting last year. So they've complained to TFL, and TFL are acting on their behalf. And you're probably right, Paul. It probably has got a lot to do with Ron Khalifa. I mean, he's got a conflict of interest. He shouldn't be anywhere near the board of TFL on this issue.
Yeah, what we need is a test case or two. Any takers?
You can forget that. I'll tell you why. Because they say they consulted, and the majority of the cab trade, i.e. Mr. Woodfield Road, all right, and his cronies agreed. It was a done deal. OK? No wonder you get all those adverts in Taxi Magazine. Not that I'm saying it would influence things, of course. All right? Anyway, I've been listening a bit of a feed on the Uber Tribunal kerfuffle at the appeal court. They're running the same old thing, Uber. Well, it's not us, Gov. They can't be employees because it's the driver that accepts the booking. Well, to me, it's quite clear. This is a black and white thing now. If Uber win the appeal on the basis that they don't accept the booking, then the licence has to be revoked. There isn't anything else, but of course it won't be, because, like I say, it's like an episode of The Godfather.
The whole joke about this is you could have 100 machines in the back and 100 credit card machines in the front. It don't make any difference. They're not legal tender. You can insist on cash if you want, and no one can do a damn thing to you.
It's the Mick the Brit broadcast. You can get in touch at Mick the Brit on Twitter. You can even direct message me there anytime. Now, I keep getting pestered by a nationwide building society, and this is the message that they keep leaving me on my answer phone.
Hello. This is an important message for Michael Smith from Nationwide. Please contact our 24-hour automated service on 8,004,643,138. Thanks.
I think they're just mocking me, telling me how much money they've got in their bank account, knowing full well that I haven't got too much in my bank account. I'm living on borrowed money at the moment, as indeed probably quite a few of you are. Back to our first LTR VOC, where apparently a cab driver has had problem with the Urban Fox attacking his cab, disabling his cab. Now, who would have thought that the Urban Fox could disable a London taxi cab? However, he had a bit... I was just interested to hear about other ways he had of repelling foxes. And here's a few.
I've got three weapons in my armoury now. Vinegar, Gypsy Kiss, and the old...
So somebody else said, yeah, vinegar, you want to put vinegar under it. Now, obviously, he also said Gypsy's Kiss, which we all know is rhyming slang for piss. So obviously he was fed up having to climb underneath his cab and piss on the undercarriage of his cab. So he's now resorted to this.
Lion dung.
Yeah, and there's another thing. If he'd have just said
lion dung,
lion dung all through it, then we wouldn't have got to this. Anyway, thank you for contributing to LTRBOC. Number one, 20 years ago, Share and Believe. Share, Believe was number one 20 years ago. 30 years ago, another lady, Enya. And this is Orinoco Flow. Thank you. Kenya, Orinoco Flow, number one, 30 years ago. And yes, the summer in 1978 was a really long one, end of October, and they're still there.
Summer loving had me a blast.
Shoot my butt, shoot my butt, shoot my butt, shoot my butt.
I told her we'd still be friends.
Then we made our true love vow.
Wonder what she is doing now. Summer dreams ripped at seams. But the
Olivia Newton-John, and John Travolta, still number one, 40 years ago with Summer Nights. Well, that's it. There is no more. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to the broadcast here, the Mick the Brit broadcast. You can find it at londontaxiradio.co.uk, as indeed you can listen to London Taxi Radio, londontaxiradio.co.uk, and all the other podcasts there as well, including the Super Cabbies Cab Chat Show and SPD on LTR. So don't forget, if you've got problems with your cab, the foxes getting at them. Yeah, just put a bit of that around it. Fox repellent. Anyway, thanks very much again for downloading and listening to this and sticking with it this far. Till next week, ta-ra.
Good night and good luck to you all.